Welcome to Becoming Limitless. This is the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to optimize their brain and their body with biohacking. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate brain fog and upgrade your health so you can have more productivity, energy, and growth in your business. I'm your host, Tanessa Shears. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Becoming Limitless podcast. I've got a really exciting episode. So if you have been listening to the podcast for a while, you will know that a couple of months ago, episode 87, I did an episode called Breaking Boundaries, how pivoting and thinking outside of the box can help achieve your vision. And in that episode, I outlined how our family became completely financially independent, exactly how we did it, how we invested, we sold our house, like the full deal. And now we are going to be traveling the world. And first up, you know, as you've been hearing, January 2024, we leave for Panama and we are doing a 2-month trip. We're bringing the girls. The whole goal is just to do a slow living, work, live, stay in another country, become immersed in the culture. And we are so excited about that. But this episode is going to be a part two of that. I want in this episode to bring you guys behind the scenes of what it's like to not really need to work for money. And I want to shine a spotlight on the not so glamorous parts of it, because I really think, you know, you hear, oh, Tanessa and her family are going to be traveling in Panama for 2 months and they're, you know, not dependent on their income from their businesses. Like, that must be so great. And I think, yes, there's a lot of great stuff to it and we're going to be talking about that. But I also really want to dig in on the parts of this that aren't so glamorous, the unexpected identity shifts that my husband Flynn had to go through and all of that. So first, you don't have to go listen to it first, but episode 87 is a really good one to start with. But this is going to be kind of that part two of the behind the scenes of more the mental and emotional shifts that we had to go through to create this reality. And not all of it is glamorous, and I will tell you that. So the purpose of this episode is to share our story and our experience and what it was like for us, and in the hopes that we might inspire you, or you know, send this episode to a friend and it inspires them, and just making someone feel the way we felt of when that door of possibility is opened. And now here's the best part about this episode. Are you ready? It's not just me today. My husband Flynn is actually joining me for the first time on the podcast today. And we are going to talk about this together, because I didn't do this alone. He didn't do this alone. We're a team in this. So Mr. Flynn Flores, come on to the mic and say hi.
Hello. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah. So I'm just going to put this out there right now. Flynn is nervous. He's not a front of the camera guy. He's a behind the camera guy. He's the videographer. He's the editor. He's the sound guy. Like, he's great at that stuff. So, but he's doing us a favor today to come on and share his experience. So Flynn, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, babe.
Yeah, we actually
can
did.
I call it, you babe?
Yes,
or Tanessa?
You can call me a babe.
Okay, I call you babe.
Yeah. So we actually did an interview. I think it was almost exactly a year ago this week, actually, I think, that we did an interview on a really big YouTube channel where we were a testimonial for our experience going FI, or financially independent, as we're going to be telling you about. And so I think this is your second crack at the can, hey?
Like, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, too good. Okay, so let's start off with, like, what is FIRE? If you've heard that, this whole financial independence thing, we should start by defining that. Flynn, what is financial, or what does FIRE stand for?
Okay, so FIRE stands for financially independent, retire early. It's a movement that I found on YouTube like a long time ago, but I never really paid attention to it because I thought it was for early people, like for teenage in investing. So I just went over my head and yeah.
Yeah, the reason why we think it's like for teenagers is because if you look at actually the definition of a lot of the FIRE movement, you're like saving 70% of your income every month. And we live in Vancouver. It's a really high cost of living city here. But I know that one of the things, like, I know Flynn, I think you found the video on the 4% rule, which is a rule that most people that do FIRE live by, which essentially means you amass this massive sum of money, 1.5, 2 million in the bank, and then you withdraw 4% of that every year and try to live off of that. But the issue with that, like that we were seeing is, okay, well, what if you have to go and withdraw your 4% of your nest egg in a down year? Like if you are invested in the stock market at all right now, you'll know that it's like, we're in a recession. Like our portfolio is down a solid 15% right now. And it has been pretty stable. Like what if you were constantly having to sell off everything at a loss? And this really concerned us, right? Because then how long does that 4% withdrawal take you? Because the goal is to draw it down to zero. And we were like, there has to be a way to be able to pass some of this on to our kids too, right? And I mean, we tried the rental property route. Like, I think we bought our first rental property together, what, 2.5, 3 years after dating, something like that?
Yeah. That was our first investment.
Yeah. And it was like, because we went to a seminar and I remember asking you, stocks, real estate. And what did you say you wanted to go with?
Let's go real estate, because with stocks, I did not understand it. So it just went over my head. So let's go with real estate.
Yeah. So we jumped in. We were dating, what, like 3 years? We went and bought our first property. And like it was great, but we had a lot of like tenant turnover, good experiences, but a lot of that. And as soon as we had kids, like lugging car seats out to, you know, interview tenants that didn't show up. Do you remember that day, Flynn, that we had 5 interviews lined up and we had confirmed with all of them? How many of them showed up? Do you remember?
None.
We were standing there. We're like, we drove with our baby in the car seat, like for 40 minutes to come here, and not one person could even give us the decency.
It didn't help that it was a studio, right? So if that was like a 2-bedroom suite, might be better, but it's just a lot of work for a rental, but... And I heard it's like bad stories too, so.
Oh, I know. We were petrified of getting the bad tenant that would come in and ruin it. No, we had good tenants, but like Flynn was saying, because it's a studio, we were getting constantly every year somebody, you know, they wanted a bedroom with a door. And so it was hard to keep a tenant, but that's a whole nother story. And we ended up selling that. If you listen to the last episode, episode 87, you'll know about that. But this episode is really about what happened after we became financially independent, retire early in FIRE. Like this is something we had kind of had on the back of our minds since probably 2021. And in 2022, we actually became financially independent. And like, I'm just going to break that down. Financially independent means if Flynn and I never worked again, our lifestyle would be fully funded by the dividends or the distributions kicked off from our investment portfolio. We don't need to work. So we hit that. And then our second daughter, Tenley, she was born on June 1st, 2022. And that actually is when Flynn decided to quit his job. We didn't quite tell your bosses we were going to quit that day, did we?
No, they thought I was going to return after like a parental leave. So I didn't tell them, but we were planning not to go back. So...
Yeah. And it was it was kind of exciting that we're like, oh my gosh, they don't know. We're going to tell them, like planning to go and quit. Like quit day's a big deal when you know you're not moving on to another job, hey?
Oh yeah. It's totally different because I quit a lot of times from different jobs and going to a different job, right? But this time is like actually retiring from a full-time job. And I've never done this before. So it was a new experience for me. And it was amazing.
Yeah. So just for a little bit of background, Flynn was a full-time mechanic at Lexus. And you'd been doing that pretty much since we started dating. We've been up together almost, what, 8 years now?
Yeah. So I've been a mechanic for a decade and a Red Seal. And, you know, I love fixing cars, but it's just, you know...
Not something you want to do for the rest, especially when you got 2 kids at home. I've never had that experience personally of having a regular job, but to have to like go away from the family for a full day and then come back and see your kids for an hour or two at night. I've never had that experience, but I know you did. And that wasn't what you saw for your future, right?
Yeah. I love fixing cars, but it's just every day for the rest of my life, I just don't want to do that. It hurts my low back too, right? So
yeah,
it's not something I want to do for the rest of my life for sure.
I hear you. And so just why now? Why have we recorded this episode now? Well, it's because as of June 1st, and I don't know when this episode is coming out yet, but we have officially been financially independent with Flynn not at a full-time regular job for over a year now. So I think we've learned a couple lessons That's what we want to share. So I think what I want to break into is like what I really want to get real on this episode with is the stuff that we didn't expect to happen. Because like we talked about in the intro, like you hear all of this glam about like, oh, you know, I don't have to work and our dividends support us. But like we came through some harsh emotional realities, and not so much me, but a lot Flynn. And that's why I had him on the podcast, because I wanted him to really share that. So I want to talk a little bit about like what we thought it was going to be like to not have to work for income and to have Flynn home all the time. So I'm going to give you the floor, Flynn, because I know that this was majorly your experience you went through. So what was it like to to quit? What did you think was life was going to be like?
So basically, yeah, it's actually a really exciting to think about quitting a job like you don't really like. And obviously, my first thought was freedom, right? I would have the time to do whatever I want, right? Or I would have like a relaxed life, you know, plenty of time to work out, time to hang out with the kids, you know, no stress, eat, live an easy life. Basically think I was going to hang out with the kids all day at the park.
Just making it just like an easy, spacious day. No, you know, stresses, nothing weighing on you, nowhere to be, just like easy. I think that's what I thought it was going to be like for you too. But, and I think you realized that like really soon on. You got a job doing some video work, because you guys might not know this, but Flynn has been doing a lot of videography work. He specialized in weddings for actually, what was that, 2017 you started opening that business?
Yeah, it was like very part-time. It was just for fun, and then kind of turned into like a business, like a side business. And I do enjoy it. And
yeah, I think for the most part, it was like once you retired, you were picking up some video contract gigs. He was getting into like doing some real estate stuff and just to keep a little busy. Like, I think your whole vibe going into it was like, there's no responsibilities
yeah,
now.
Yeah, no except- work at all. Like, just optional, right? So if I get a gig and I don't like it, I can say no, right? Because it's not that I need it. It's just, it's an option for me, right?
Yeah. And I think that was, it was this vision going in. And for me, I was just like so excited to blow up my business, because I had been running my business on 2 to 3 days a week before that. And then, you know, cramming it into naps and stuff like that while I was full-time mom. And so I was ready to take my turn and step back as like the primary parent and just run with my business. And I remember specifically, Flynn, how many times did we sit down and be like, I can't wait for the day you retire, and we could sit down and write our dream schedule. Do you remember how many times we talked about that?
It actually happened. Did I?
Yeah, we did it, but it wasn't as exciting as we thought to like plan out the days, because you still need to get the, you know, I was still doing the work and the grocery shopping still had to happen and all of that kind of stuff. But I just remember that. But like, so paint that vision for you there. That's what it was going to be like. Ah, relax. But then how long was it into what we'll call your retirement until you started being hit with reality?
Yeah, I think it was like 2 to 3 months in, and I realized life is just as full and it's just hard to get a workout in.
Yeah, isn't it weird how you just think that your schedule is going to have all this open time, but like it gets full, like with the kids' routines and, you know, waking up the baby, everyone gets fed, whose time is it for nap, who's going grocery shopping, like the time just really never freed up in the way that you would expect it to. I think especially because you did step from a full-time job into being a full-time dad, which I know you offered to share as part of this experience, that coming home to be a full-time parent was harder than you thought emotionally.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be easy, really. I thought I was, you know, I thought I could handle it. Like, being a dad should be easy, right? But like being in there, like, you know, the emotional crying and all the taking care of the babies is like, I had to manage that. That was tough.
Yeah. Well, and keep this in mind, like when our first daughter was at home, like that was me. I was the parent through there, you know, and it was one kid and I got used to it and I knew how to handle it. I developed the, you know, the coping skills when the crying doesn't stop. But Flynn got thrown in with, at the time, a 2-year-old and a newborn. And they're in that stage where like for the first 2 to 3 months, they don't stop crying.
Yeah. I told her to appreciate what Tanessa was doing back then on her first kid. And I didn't really feel that because I was at work. I would leave the house like 7:30 to go to work, right? So that's before they would wake up. So I didn't really get to experience that. And now that I'm experiencing for the second kid, and it's totally an eye-opener for me. So I totally appreciate the parents out there. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think the part that I think you went through as that was dealing with just not knowing the coping skills on how to deal with crying kids all the time and not getting the amount of you time that you got before. And I know that you mentioned like it was frustrating. Yeah. And you dealt with like
yeah, I
didn't, anger.
I took it all for granted, like my me time, like me driving alone, like just the quietness, I guess. I took that for granted and I didn't have that with the kids, right? So it took a while to kind of manage that skill. Mm-hmm. Or to learn that skill.
Yeah. And I think one of the things you started dealing with was the anger that was coming up, just like no alone time. You don't know how to cope with it, thrown into the deep end with two kids at once. And I mean, keep in mind, I was still at home helping, but it was just a lot of full on experience. Yeah. And
our sleep was terrible. Yes. Too. So like that played a huge part for sure.
Yeah. But I think that anger was something unexpected that came up for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm normally like a chill guy, right? Except when things go wrong at work, right? Like throwing wrenches in here and there. But yeah, I'm normally, for the most part, I'm pretty chill. Yeah. Like I don't really express too much emotions. But you know, when this happened, man, yeah, I didn't know how to handle it. Right. Yeah. That was a kind of a low for me.
Yeah. And right? I don't know whether it was annoying or helpful that you had a coach in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of it was like just recognizing that he didn't have the coping skills yet, right? And understanding that like where was his limit to go leave the room and take a breath. But like what did you find as something that helped the big helped the most dealing with that transition? I know you read a lot.
Yes, so basically I became coachable, obviously, because sometimes I don't listen to Tanessa, which I
no.
should. but I do most of the time. I started reading some books about parenting, actually. That actually helped me a lot on managing my anger and just how to just be a parent and how to deal ways that I did not experience when I was a kid. So that's that identity shift. You know, that had to happen. I had to change my identity.
Oh, and I think that's another good thing that we should speak to is like, keep in mind, like for the longest time, like Flynn was well paid as a mechanic at Lexus. And to have to go from, you know, a significant income earner in our house to, at that time, no income earner, to, you know, losing that regular income and just what that meant in terms of like spending flexibility and not being the primary income earner anymore and becoming a full-time dad and that loss of alone time. Like that is a huge identity shift to have to make in the midst of being sleep deprived and, you know, crying babies the whole time. And, you know, Hannah was right in the middle of her terrible twos and it was just, we called her the Hulk because the Hulk. She would be like, But that was a huge identity. And I think that was the thing that we didn't expect to happen. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a big shift on the identity for sure.
Yeah. And I think, do you think it was just time that helped with that? Because anybody that's going to go and do this retire early thing, I think what they're going to have to experience is this, who am I when I don't work with 90% of my waking hours, right? And do you think it was just time that had you get used to that? Or do you think it was something different?
Yeah, so what helped me through this identity shift was allowing enough time to pass, to realize that I actually like to work and not just on stuff that doesn't fulfill me.
Yeah, I think it was finding a business or something to work on that actually you felt passionate and you enjoyed doing, right? And it didn't feel like it was draining your soul.
Yeah, because like doing nothing is, that's boring. Like I get bored. Like, yeah. I need to do something. Like, I want to do videos. Like I love doing that. So I'm gonna pursue that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest takeaways is the identity shift that you do not expect to happen, that you will need to go through. And everyone's realizations are gonna be different. Like, but it was that for Flynn was like, oh my gosh, I actually do like working. Just like me, I love my girls and I love my family, but I also don't want to be a full-time mom. And I think you had that realization too, right?
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be a full-time dad, but I realized I want to do part-time dad and part-time work.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to do too. And I think that's why it works so well, right?
Yeah, it works so well, yeah.
So another thing we didn't expect was that being financially independent does not feel any different. It's so interesting. Like for me, and I'm always the one in the family that, you know, has the spreadsheets and the budgets and the money and stuff like that. But like I had this vision of like, oh my gosh, I'm not gonna have to worry about money anymore. I'm gonna sleep well at night. And yes, we sleep well at night, but it's not like all your worries are gone. It's so interesting.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, I totally expected it to just like feel so easy. But, you know, my brain still loves to go to stress about money. And it's interesting. You were like, oh, if I had all this money, I wouldn't stress about it anymore. But I'm here to say firsthand, not true. My brain has a pattern of stressing about money And so that is what it continued to do regardless. Like if you'd have told us 5 years ago, you're going to have this much in the bank and get this much, what are we at? Like 6,000 a month and 6,700 in passive income now, right? With the everything altogether. Yeah. Like, did you expect that this would have, if you would have backed 5 years ago and said, hey, there's going to be $6,700 plopped into your bank account every month. Do you think you were like, oh, life's going to be great then?
Oh, dude, that would be amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And we just think like
things I would be so happy by this, by that, right?
Yeah.
Back then.
Right? It's just like the case of the typical entrepreneur. When I get, you know, fully book a clients, when I get 10K months, when I get 100K months, when I hit a seven-figure year, like all the problems are going to go away. I'm going to have all of this time and I'm going to be so relaxed and all my stress will be gone. That literally didn't happen for me. And I think it was so interesting. Our families, we love always chit-chatting about kind of the funny comments our family makes and stuff like that. Like they think we don't spend money. It's so interesting because we live below our means. We track our expenses. We know we could tell you within $20 what we spent on groceries last month. Like we are super on top of it because we value our freedom, right? And our family thinks we don't spend money. And I
my family thinks I am super cheap.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that we're actually spending money, like what, 5K a month on our expense?
Yeah.
To have me home.
Yeah, Flynn's take home was just over $5,000 a month. So we are technically spending $5,000 a month.
Yeah, it's just we're just not spending money on eating out or stuff or materials, right? So we value our freedom
more than stuff. Yeah, like it literally costs us $5,000 a month to have Flynn home. We actually spend a lot of money, but we just are very particular what we want to spend it on. Yeah. And we value that freedom so much more than stuff to put in our closet or food to eat. You know, some people get to choose. They choose what they spend their money on. They want to choose it on eating out. They want to choose it on clothes. And that's all cool. But like we spend our money. This is the way we look at it, the reframe. We spend our money on having Flynn at home. And they really don't get that. Like people are like, you guys aren't living. You're not enjoying your life.
We're actually living. Like I'm not working. I don't have to work.
Yeah.
I work for fun. Right.
So yeah, I
love it.
We just value our time freedom more than stuff. And I think the last thing that we didn't actually expect to happen was this weird mismatch between spend. Oh, yeah. We thought like, oh, we're gonna have all of this time to spend with our family now. Yeah. But what did you find was the reality?
So basically, we became FI and then realized we still have to hang out with their schedules.
Yeah, because they still have regular jobs, like a lot of Flynn's family. My family, not so much, but Flynn's family have a lot of like full-time jobs. So that means they're available on the weekends.
And
we were like,
only,
great, we're FI. We can go to the grocery store in the middle of the week. We can do family events like during the less busy times if we want to go out. Yeah. But we ran into the fact that like, oh, we still have to do most of our events on the weekends.
Yeah, we want to go on the beach on a Monday or a Tuesday, but then we can't. Because we'd be going by ourselves, right? So we want our family to be there. And it's just the timing is not right. So that's one of the things that we did not expect.
Yeah, we're still just very much having to do the weekend hangouts and stuff. I mean, which is all good. But that's honestly going to lead really nicely into what I want to talk about next, which is what is so amazing about being financially independent. And I think one of those things is being able to go to the beach on a weekday at 10 a.m., instead of, and this doesn't just speak to FI, this speaks to the flexibility of having a business in which you can change your hours as you'd like, but really being able to, you know, go to the beach in the middle of the week, go grocery shopping on a Tuesday morning instead of the afternoon rush and stuff like that. Like that is something that was such an amazing part of that experience. I don't know about you, but
especially going to Costco, I actually like going on a Tuesday morning where not everybody's there. Like it's not after work.
Yeah,
right?
You're not fighting the Costco parking lot issues the same, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The other thing we noticed is like we go on a lot of walks as a family, and going on those walks at like 10 a.m. as a family, everyone stops to talk to you. Do you notice that? Because slower frame of life. The people that are out walking at 10 a.m. in the morning. Do you notice
even
that?
Even like the employees at Costco, right? They're more approachable. They're not like stressed out. Like they like to talk to me and they like to talk to my girls, right? So it's actually a different world almost.
Yeah. And the people on the walks, they stop and talk and they say hi. And we've actually got to meet a lot of our neighbors. It's a really kind of different, it's a whole different world of like, everyone's a little slower. Like we move slower. There's less rush. There's less stress.
It helps too because like we live in a neighborhood where a lot of older crowds and they're like retired too. So we're kind of like, we're living as a retired life.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah, it is true. Most of the homeowners in our neighborhood are probably in their 60s and 70s, yeah, retired, but we fit right in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talk about the same things and stuff like that, the vacations, and it's actually been a really good shift here. But let's talk about some of the other things that we really like. I noticed for us, like we really became quite minimalist after we hit FI. Did you notice that?
Yeah. So yeah, I grew up with my mom being like a hoarder too. Like she just gets a lot of free stuff and all the stuff. If she gets something free, oh, she'll get it. She'll do that. So I kind of grew up with that. And now it's like, I don't want any more stuff.
Yeah.
Like I just want to get rid of stuff. I want to be clean and just like, easy.
Yeah, I feel honestly like it's like one of our favorite weekend hobbies is we'll attack a room and be like, what can we sell? What can we get rid of? We did that last weekend.
Yeah, we're always getting rid of stuff like almost every week. Yeah. Listing on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, well, I think part of that is like when we really recognize that we're going to be traveling more and we don't know what our future is going to look like I wanted to just be light on stuff. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like we were talking about earlier, like the freedoms to go on family walks whenever, to take family days. And we that fact that we don't need to work, that flexibility has been so wonderful. Like for me, I have decided for most of summer, I'm going to be taking at least half of my Mondays off. And Mondays are one of my 4 work days per week because I want to spend it in the sunshine on a date day, right? And like that flexibility to have Flynn home so that we can go on date days on a Monday is so wonderful. I know that one of the big things I think that Flynn, you probably noticed is the breakfast time calls changed. I don't know if you want to speak to that.
Yeah. So before when I had my job, I would leave around 7:30. I think I mentioned that earlier. And I would call them around, 8:30?
Yeah, when you got to work.
We got to work, call you guys at 8:30, and you guys would have your breakfast, right? And then, we would call every day, like Monday to Friday. Monday to Friday, we'd call every morning to join you guys for your breakfast.
Yeah, so Flynn would be at work, having like virtual through the phone breakfast with Hannah and I, and we were at home, right? Yeah, and I think one of the cool things is, like, we often will have this moment of, like, it's 9:42 on a Tuesday and we're out for a walk or how cool is this that we had this. I remember a specific moment last winter where we were all sitting around at like 10 a.m. It was a snowy kind of wintry Christmas morning. And I remember looking at you being like, Flynn, it's like 9:30 in the morning. You would have been at work right now and we would have been calling you, but instead we're having breakfast together. Yeah. And it's those kind of moments that remind us why we're so okay with spending this money to have you home, right?
In the snow too, right? I would have been driving through the snow. That was terrible.
Oh, yes.
I don't miss that at all.
But we live at the top of a very large hill. No, you can't go up from where we live. Everywhere is down in every direction. Yeah, so
exactly.
It's nice to not have to worry about him driving in the snow all the time, especially, you know, we live up in Vancouver, Canada. We get snow from December through March most years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another good benefit was, for me specifically, what I started finding was once I'm not needing that income, once we got over that milestone of having all of our expenses and bills covered by our investment dividend income, is that I now get to work with the clients that I really want to work with, right? Like I have the ability to say no if someone is not a good fit for my programs. And this has made the people that I say yes to working with like such a cultivated community. And I just adore them and they are good fits. And it's nice to be able to say no. And you're probably finding that now too. Like you're like, well, this is what I want to do. This is who I want to work with. And this is the projects I want to work on. And it's nice to be able to choose that. And I think that's something that we don't think about when we choose to become financially dependent or financially independent and then choose to retire early and then end up going back to work, right?
You just get that feel of abundance that you don't have to say or force a sale, right? You just have to find the vibe check and see if it fits and, you know, go from there.
Yeah, right. I love that. And I think also like evaluating, I know that we had this, you'll have heard about this if you listen to the other episode that I keep referencing, but Flynn and I both had a holy hell moment with our businesses. For me, I had a complete pivot in the model of business that I do because I was like, I am digging this time freedom so much. And we had this vision to travel. And so I needed my business to fit that because I don't want to be tied to a computer the entire time we're on these trips. Like I want to be able to work, but not have it be tied to, I have to be on the computer for from 12 to 4 on this day and that. So I really had to pivot my business model. But I think you had the biggest pivot of all, right? Because when we went into FI, you were playing around with Amazon, our online arbitrage, right? But then we found that that didn't work for your life either.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of sourcing the products and stuff like that, and I just didn't enjoy it as much. And you have to constantly source, right? So it's just not really fit my lifestyle, and it's not something that I truly enjoy. So I went with the videography, and I can definitely outsource my shooting and my editing. And I can even edit myself, right? So it's not a big problem, and it's part time, right? It's not something like, I can just leave it, right? And I'm not like employed. I'm self-employed, right? I can book around our vacation times.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point, is that we became location independent when you quit, because your videography, like you said, you can outsource, you can edit from anywhere in the world. My business is fully online, but that location independence, oh my gosh, can you imagine just like picking up your life now, moving it anywhere in the world, and it functions just fine? Like,
as long as there's a Wi-Fi.
I'm not going to lie. Like, we were looking at that on the Airbnbs. We were like, where's the Wi-Fi speed? But like, so that's what one of the things that we were really thinking is like, gosh, we can go anywhere in the world now. And that's how we really started moving into this new phase where we want to travel for 2 months, home for 4 months, travel for 2 months. And we have trips kind of like on the horizon planned for years to come, locations we want to go. Like, where are some of the locations that you want to go to?
Well, I want to go back to the Philippines, right? That's where kind of like my family grew up. And I grew up there for the first 12 years of my life. And I want to go there. I want to explore Asia. Never been to Asia. Europe, right? I think for now, since our kids are like really young, we're going to go just pretty close to home.
Yeah.
We're not too far from home.
Yeah, stay within like a 3-hour time shift for now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, you know, Central America, it's like a good start. And we know some people there, so I think it's a good start.
About you? Yeah, I really want to hit Greece. I want to hit Portugal. Right. I've had so many people reach out to me and say Spain is where it's at. Right. I want to see Italy. Like, I want to see Australia one day. It's almost like I get antsy because there's so many places I still want to visit that, you know, it's going to take years to get to. But
we got a lot of time, right?
Oh, totally. And I think, like, we get a lot of questions about, like, well, what about your kids? Like, what about when they start school? And we've decided to homeschool. And I know Flynn specifically has taken an interest in joining a lot of Facebook groups for world schooling, right?
Oh yeah. So world school basically is a school for kids
that are living everywhere in the world. Like, yeah, if there's no learning, home base, no home curriculum.
Yeah, learning all the different cultures around the world. And I think they do some online stuff, right?
Yeah, but I think the biggest thing is like, you're raising your kids through cultures in the world. Yeah. Like, you know,
that's the main.
Yeah, immersing yourself in the culture of the place you go to, learning the people, like learning languages, learning cultural traditions and all that stuff. And like having the world be the school system. Like, if we want to go to a sanctuary for sea turtles and have our girls learn firsthand, like how the sea turtle lifestyle or life cycle looks like that is education.
Yeah, I actually want to mention, it was Jade and Tony that we saw their video, right? So basically they world schooled their kids and now they're teens. And it was actually inspiring because like they grew up around the world. Like they didn't stay out in one area and just one school, and all their friends are jealous of them because they get to travel, right? So that's kind of, we want to go kind of gear towards raising their kids and just kind of explore it because we never had that opportunity, and I want to give that to them.
Yeah, Jade and Tony are actually a couple that reached out to us. They saw an online feature that Flynn and I had been in about how we have used this investment style to reach financial independence. They reached out to us. We actually learned about world schooling through them.
Yeah, they came over and then we got to talking and we had fun.
Yeah, it's so fun meeting other people that are on this journey too. And like, if you're like, oh, world schooling is a whole thing. You know what? Like when you go down those rabbit holes and you're like, this is a thing. There's a lot of people doing this. Like it's another step beyond homeschooling. So we don't quite know exactly what it's going to look like. I mean, our girls are young, but like some homeschooling, world schooling hybrid is kind of what we see of like education beyond a textbook, education beyond basic math. Like, what can we learn in addition to that, from being out in the world instead of just raised in one city, that's kind of a vision we've had for our kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think beyond that, I don't know if there's anything else that like is really standing out as something we loved. I think one of the really big ones is, we keep coming back to this, is that we decided to keep working. And I think that that's what allowed for this bit of travel, don't you think? Is like that we decided to work, because now my business income, it just goes towards travel or fun stuff. And your business income goes towards travel or fun stuff.
And my gear goes to my gear. And
oh, I can use that. The camera gear.
Yeah, I can use that for personal too. So it's a win-win situation, right?
Yeah, it's so good. Flynn's, like he said, he has a videography business. So it's always, what's the next camera to buy? What's the next this?
What's the next accessory? What's the next mic? What's the next upgrade, right? So it's always that, but it's awesome.
Yeah, so being financially independent, like, anything you make then just becomes dream money. And for us, dream money is travel. For Flynn, it's camera gear. Mm-hmm. For me, it's coaching. It's always coaching. I'm always spending money on coaching of some kind. But, and I think the last thing is, like, what was amazing about it is, like, at first our family thought we were crazy. If you listen to that last episode, I remember we were in Walmart at the checkout tills, and this is when we were selling our house, and my mom called me and she was like, you know, your dad and I have thought about this and we really think you're making a mistake. You always pay off your house first and then you invest. And I remember being like, it's okay, I got it. The spreadsheets add up. And then a year later, everyone's on board now. Like, my sister and her husband are on board with this.
Yeah, my sister and
your dad,
fiance, my dad,
your mom,
my mom,
my parents.
Yeah, they're on board.
Yeah, like, we've literally, like, inspired our whole family to start investing differently. And the freedom that they experience because of the extra income they generate. Like, my dad, he is, what is he, 64 now. He only is working 2 or 3 days a week because his income is supplemented. Like, what a treat to be able to partially retire at that age when he thought he was going to be working full time till he was 80. So it's like, it's a gift that goes beyond us, like inspiring the people around you. And that's kind of what we hoped in this podcast too, right? Is to get people to be like, whoa, I didn't know that was possible at such a young age, right?
Yeah, because exactly happened to us. We saw a couple that is doing what we're doing now, right? So we want to give back.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, little side story. What were we, like 30 years old when we started kind of digging into this a little bit?
Yeah,
I think it was like that. Yeah. And then, so we made this whole other, like, lifestyle, and we called it Free at 40. Why did we call it Free at 40?
Because we wanted to be retired at 40.
Yeah. And so think about that. We had thought it was going to take like 10 years.
Yeah.
And so we were surprised as heck when we realized, like, oh, well, that only took 3 years. Yeah. When you put your mind to it and you start looking for solutions. So we free at 40. Who knows what's going to be happening at 40? Because 33, we hit FI. We're both 34 now. Yeah,
so it's a lot of possibilities that can happen, and we're open to it.
Yeah. And I think, like, there's a couple points that, you know, Flynn and I, we walk at least once a day with the kids usually, and we like to, like, riff on ideas. And this is kind of where this podcast idea came up. And we were like, what are the things that we really want to communicate on this? Like, obviously we've talked about all of the things that don't work or didn't expect and all the things that are great, but, like, what are the things we want to drive home? And I think the first one is that, like, if you are thinking right now, like, this isn't for me, I couldn't possibly do that, they're special, like unicorns or something like that. Like, this doesn't have to be a 30-year plan. Hear that. Like, don't let that belief stop you from searching for an answer. Like I just said, we started the journey and we hit it way sooner than we thought, because your brain, when you go to work on something like this, it looks for alternate solutions, right? Like, we think, like, I would have to save forever and all of that kind of stuff just to save up to become FIRE or to retire early and stuff like that. But, like, when you decide, no, this is something I want to prioritize more than, you know, whatever else we're spending our money on, like, it really starts to accelerate the process. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add on that. Like, what would you say to people that are like, this, that couldn't be for me, I couldn't do that?
I think you just got to decide and take action, because we're both action takers. Like, we jump on the gun so fast, and then we fail fast, but we succeed fast too. So that's what we love about us, is just we are fast action takers.
Yeah. And I think there's been times where we've lost 50 grand on an Amazon business, or we've lost, you know, $12,000 in the stock market doing something, or our portfolio's down over $100,000 because of a dip. And like, don't let those fears hold you back. Like Flynn said it perfectly. You just gotta jump in and take action. You gotta start moving now, because thinking about it and analyzing, like Flynn has a friend that was just gonna, he saw what we were doing and was like, I'm gonna watch the market for a little bit longer. Yeah, and I just still, and that was 2-3 years ago. I still don't think he started, do you?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, that's okay, that's fine. Because maybe his priority is not there. You know, it's not, mm-hmm, it's not something he really likes doing, right? So it's really what you really want to do.
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head.
And go for it.
Yeah, it's setting it as a priority and then acting on it. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that really helped both of us was we were on the same page with this. Like we used to have this, did we do this after Hannah was born, but we haven't done it since Tanley was born. But we used to have a date every Sunday morning, and we would literally spend 3 or 4 hours looking at our money, looking at our investments, tweaking the spreadsheets, yep, seeing how we could do it. What were the numbers if we moved them around? Like this was something that we prioritized weekly more than we prioritized a movie date, a dinner date, anything. Like this, I think, accelerated the process. I think
because of the pandemic as well, like that kind of like amplified our meetings basically, because we got nowhere else to go. We weren't able to go out, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. So we're like, you know what? Let's fix our life. Let's set a goal and go for it, right? So that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And we took action, and we still do that, but not as often because we're here now, and then we're doing other things now, yeah, that we like doing.
Yeah, definitely. So I think another hit point we wanted to drive home, and I do want to say, like, based on the experience I've had in speaking on this, this can sometimes like rub people the wrong way, what we're going to say here. And I'll call it a controversial topic alert. But I'm going to say it because sometimes it takes hearing something different to open up the door of what's possible, mm-hmm, for you. And honestly, if you'd have asked me 4 years ago, if this would have ever been something I would have considered, I would have said heck to the no. So I have a belief that a lot of people value their homes more than their freedom. Mm-hmm. And so just to rewind back, like Flynn and I owned a townhouse, and Flynn and I lived in it together. And this was going to be, we were going to keep this, and then we were going to move out and rent it. And I remember when we wanted to have our second baby, we didn't have any room because, mm-hmm, we had 2 bedrooms. We had a kid already, and I needed, mm-hmm, a home office. I was working in the kitchen, and you guys had to leave every time I had, yep, a client call. It was just not working. So we were looking at houses. And the houses that we were looking at, like if we'd have sold our townhouse and bought a house, we would have been within dollars of our budget every month. Flynn, yep, would have had to work full time. I would have
paying
had to
for that mortgage.
Yeah, yeah, we would have had to pay for that mortgage on that house. Like there would have been no flexibility.
And that house would have been like somewhere far. Somewhere in the east.
Yeah, right. We had to move out of the city because Vancouver, yeah, is a very expensive city. And, yeah, we were really like, how are we going to make this work? And that we saw that as the only option. But if you listened, I know I keep referencing that previous episode, but a lot of our strategies in there, we sold our home and invested it for the dividend income. And that is such an atypical solution. But we valued Flynn's freedom, being able to raise the girls, watch them grow up, you know, be able to be part of their lives and my life. We value that so much more than owning a house and feeling like we were always just, you know, upping a size of our home, the fanciness of our cars, upping our wardrobe every time we got an income increase, right? Like, I don't know what, if you have, yeah, any thoughts to add,
yeah,
on, like,
we actually get rid of stuff. We, yeah, don't like stuff.
Yeah.
I grew up, you know, being taught that, you know, you gotta get a full-time job, right? Or you get a government job to get some benefits and get a house, you know, and then upgrade to a bigger house and just more, and buy a new car, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it was a shift to prioritize time over than materials.
Yeah, and I think it's so common to always think like you go down the conveyor belt of life, right? You get the job or the business, and then you buy the house, and then you have the kids, and then you
retire at 60.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, like, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with any of that. No. Like if you want to own a house, amazing. I love that for you. However, there are other options. And I think if you're willing to look at alternative solutions, ask yourself, like, is this owning this home worth not having my husband watch my girls grow up, not watching them take, because he missed Hannah's first step, but he did not miss Tenley's first step. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, I don't care if I ever own a house again, to be honest. Like, I want him to watch her run for the first time in Panama, swim for the first time in Greece. Like, those things to us have become so much more important than having our name on the title of a home and a house. Like, we rent, we have a beautiful home. We've been here 2 years now. Yeah. Does it feel like a home to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? And a lot of people will say, well, what about if, you know, you have to move or, you know, the landlord wants to sell? So what? So we'll move. Yeah, like, we are location independent. Like, that is the beautiful thing.
We can literally move anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere in the world.
We're not stuck on a mortgage.
Yeah, right? Like, oh, there's so many beautiful things about it. And I think the last thing we want to drive home is that you work your whole life with the thought of retiring one day and that it's going to be great and you won't have to work anymore. And I think we just really want to emphasize that we have been to the mountaintop and the view's not as good as you think. Like, it's actually kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not as great as your brain is picturing it out on. Because think about this. The only thing that's making retirement seem so great is your brain has a sentence that is saying, all my problems will be better. I'm going to have all of this time. I'm going to be stress-free. Life is going to be easy. Everything that Flynn talked about, life is going to look like that. And we have got there. And I'm telling you that your brain is like, okay, and life is really boring right now. And I'm really fidgety and I don't enjoy this. And like, my stress is still here and I still have problems. I still worry about money. Like, it's amazing. Nothing changes. So live now. Like, if you want that life of travel, if you want to go after retirement and early and you want to experience that location independence, that time independence, that flexibility, live that now. Material stuff is not going to bring you the satisfaction in your life that time control will. And this is not to say that our way is the right way. This is just us sharing what we truly believe now in hopes that it inspires you. You do not have to wait until you're 65 to live the life you wanted. Live it now. Make the memories now. What is your time worth? So I don't know. Did you want to bring it home with anything, Flynn? Did you have any thoughts on like, live now, material stuff is not going to be it?
Yeah, like I used to spend a lot of money on materials. Like, I bought a motorcycle, but you know, it's not something that I enjoy now. Like, I enjoy my freedom way more. Just enjoy your life now. Like, choose a career that you enjoy and just go for it. And
yeah, and start making a plan. Make a plan if you want out of your of mandatory work. Let's just call it that. If you want out of mandatory work, start making a plan now. Because if you achieve it in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, what if it was half the time that you had originally had it planned? And it can be so much closer than you think. So just as an FYI, I am a complete open book on this stuff. So if you're like, I want to jam out on this, I want to talk a bit more questions, come over to my Instagram. I am at Tanessa Shears. Come say hi. I'll link below, but we actually have a family Instagram account that we're going to be posting a lot more on once we start traveling.
Channel,
yeah. And it's and a YouTube channel. It's called the Flowers Family because our legal last name is Flores, which means flowers in Spanish. So we're going to be the Flowers Family in Panama and we are going to be sharing a lot of that. So I'd be happy for you to come and join us. We leave January 2024. So excited about that. But like I said, open book here to answer your questions. And I want this episode to be one that you take as possibility, as opening up doors, as inspiring you to think bigger or different than you've always been taught to think or just always had think. So I hope that you're feeling a little inspired right now. And I hope you also have a beautiful week. And we will both talk to you next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Learn something new in this episode or feel inspired to take action? I'd love for you to share it with a friend and leave a review. Your review will help one more entrepreneur feel healthier, more energized, and focused. If you feel good about helping a friend or a fellow business owner you've never even met, you are my kind of people. I'm excited to help you become limitless in the coming episodes.